The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. A report issued Tuesday, May 27th by the International Observer Mission found that the 2025 Philippine elections failed to meet international standards for free and fair elections, citing grave and widespread violations of human rights across the country. This comprehensive report is the result of an independent international initiative that adopted a rights-based approach to monitoring the elections. It was organized by the International Coalition for Human Rights in the Philippines and launched in 2022. For this 2025 mission, more than 50 international human rights advocates took part, with field observers deployed to priority areas with histories of election-related violence. The mission also partnered with local watchdogs, such as ContraDaya and Vote Report PH, while remote teams monitored digital disinformation, overseas absentee voting, and voting irregularities abroad. ICHRP held a news conference May 27th to launch the report. On this edition of Century, we're going to listen to portions of that launch. First, here's Dr. Andrea Mann, Director of Global Relations at the Anglican Church of Canada.
The 2025 International Observers Mission ran from late April to mid-May, covering the campaign period and the May 12th election day. More than 50 international human rights advocates participated in the 2025 IOM, with 29 field observers from different countries deployed across Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao, focusing on areas with documented histories of electoral violence. Observers documented and triangulated data on human rights and international humanitarian law violations in coordination with local watchdogs like ContraDaya, and we'll hear more from Professor Aro this evening, and Vote Report PH. Remote observation teams also monitored overseas absentee voting, digital disinformation, and voting irregularities abroad. The 2025 IOM reports 8 critically important findings. Finding 1, systematic, coordinated, and well-funded red tagging and disinformation against progressive candidates and party lists. Red tagging, labeling individuals and groups as members or supporters of armed communist groups, was the most frequently reported violation in the 2025 election period, according to Voter Report PH. Finding 2, voter disenfranchisement and voting machine malfunctions leading to inaccurate vote counts. On election day, the IOM flagged several issues that contributed to severe voter disenfranchisement, including malfunctioning automated counting machines, reports of ballots being wrongly read as overvotes through smudging in those machines, which effectively nullified valid votes, pre-marked ballots, reports of voters unknowingly voting for a different candidate, and reports of voters unable to find their names in voters' lists. Finding 3, vote buying by certain party lists and candidates, as well as anti-worker policies. Many Filipinos accepted large amounts of money due to the difficulties they face surviving on low average wages. Election day was not declared a national holiday, so many working Filipinos would not have been paid if they did not work, causing many not to turn to vote. Finding 4, overwhelming influence and disproportionate representation of political dynasties and local elites. The domination in this election by political dynasties and oligarchy of elite families raises serious concerns about the impact on democratic representation and political diversity. This resembles a caste system where only powerful and wealthy families can enter the political system. Finding number five, election-related violence, including killing and abduction. Election-related killings escalated before the election on May 12th, particularly in the northern province of Ebra and the Bangsamoro Autonomous Region in Muslim Mindanao in southern Philippines. On election day, the mission documented riots and other incidents of violence ranging from fistfights to gunfights to shootings, and in some cases, shootings resulted in killings. Finding number six, militarization and rampant violations of international humanitarian law. The election period also saw continued violations of international humanitarian law, especially in rural areas, occurring amidst a decades-long armed conflict between the Philippine government and the National Democratic Front of the Philippines, or the NDFP. Observers noted that the armed forces of the Philippines participated in targeting civilians in various forms, intimidating and threatening candidates, members of party lists, and their supporters via red tagging, abduction, home visitation by soldiers, and illegal searches. Finding seven, influence of foreign military and American geopolitical interests. From April 21st to May 9th this year, the Balikatan military exercises took place in the Philippine Sea with 10,000 US, Japanese, and Australian troops staging live fire exercises alongside 5,000 Filipino troops. The exercises largely overlapped with the 2025 Philippine midterm elections, posing a threat to the freedom and sovereignty of the elections. And the eighth and final finding, among others, but these being the high-level, specific general findings, harassment and barring of international observers. The Philippine government continued its attacks against solidarity advocates and activists during the election period. Gordon Much, a member of the Baltimore Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines, who traveled to the Philippines to observe the election, was detained at the airport and ultimately deported on the basis of tagging Much with anti-government activities. Observers were also harassed in country, including one instance of observers being filmed by armed men in plain clothes. Pardon me. I returned from Manila with one of those colds that we get from time to time. Beg your pardon. By armed men in plain clothes while interviewing mission respondents. In conclusion, the 2025 IOM, similar to the findings of the International Observers Mission for the 2022 Philippine elections, found the massive scale of problems identified in the 2025 elections rendered the elections neither free nor open, honest, nor fair. The pattern of issues in the elections this year speaks to a much larger context of social inequality, inequity, fascism, foreign influence, and systematic human rights violations against the Filipino people. It is, as on the screen, of utmost urgency for the international community to pay heed to these major issues of systematic injustice and call for a truly fair and democratic electoral system in the country.
That was Dr. Andrea Mann, Director of Global Relations at the Anglican Church of Canada, speaking at a news conference May 27th, at which the International Observer Mission's report on the 2025 Philippine election was launched. We'll hear more in a moment. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Next, let's hear Lee Rhiannon, a former member of the Australian Senate.
The report we have released today demonstrates most conclusively that it was not possible for all Filipinos to exercise their democratic right to participate in the 2025 midterm election, unencumbered by coercion or violence. The abuses by various arms of state power, documented here, and as you've heard from the speakers, reveal the extent of the failed Filipino electoral process. These abuses not only constitute electoral violations, they are also violations of human rights and violations of international humanitarian law. This monumental failure means the key principle of democracy was not honoured. Power in a democratic state ultimately resides with the people who, via the electoral process, freely consent to being governed. This did not happen in the 2025 midterm election. The tactic of red tagging was a principal culprit in stopping people engaging in a free, fair, and honest election. Red tagging was the most frequently reported violation reported in this election and is carried out especially in rural communities comprised of farmers and Indigenous people in the main. The intent is to smear reputations, deter people from campaigning, and stop people from voting. Red tagging is used by state authorities to label people and groups as members or supporters of armed communist and terrorist groups. The armed conflict between the Philippines government and a national liberation movement, the National Democratic Front of the Philippines, has been used by the authorities to run counter-insurgency campaigns against activists, campaigners, unionists, lawyers, journalists, and numerous progressive organisations. Once red tag, those targeted usually endure increased harassment during the election campaign period. Violence, intimidation, and dissemination of false accusations usually increase. Red tagging is widely recognised as a war crime. This serious allegation is appropriate as the lives of civilians become endangered when state institutions and their agents allege ordinary people are linked with armed rebel movements. Examples of red tagging in the areas where our teams worked, Southern Tagalog, Bicol region and Western Visayas and Mindanao stands at 112. The total number across all the Philippines clearly would be much higher. These incidents of red tagging reported to the International Observers Mission provide a window into the depth of the problem this tactic is causing. Progressive party lists are dishonestly linked with communist and armed struggle. In southern Tagalog, an entire community was accused of producing fighters for the New People's Army. In the same region, hundreds of signs or tarpaulins of party lists for the Bayan Mana and the ACT teachers and Gabrielle and Women's Party and a senatorial candidate were red tagged with the words, "Do not vote, terrorists," and the initials NPA. Bicol was the scene of a particularly disturbing example of red tagging. A makeshift coffin splattered with fake blood with photos of four deceased people attached were placed in a prominent public area. The photos of the deceased, alleged slain NPA fighters, were displayed beside materials with logos of Progressive Party lists, each marked with red crosses. We have reports of similar incidents in other areas. I'll briefly share with you other examples of electoral violence and the militarisation of communities. In Western Visayas, Filipino soldiers were interrogating children as young as 5 years old. This violates international humanitarian law. Children are unable to understand soldiers' requests. Effectively, they are being manipulated, children being used to provide information on the location and identification of local leaders. Farmers in this region have been subjected to sexual violence. Intelligence agents attempted to gain access to people's homes by posing as door-to-door salesmen and repairmen. In a rural municipality in Abra, where red tagging was widely used, one victim attested that the military would visit their home about 2 to 3 times a week, an action they found intimidatory. Locals also reported that from March to May this year, military personnel distributed what purported to be surrender papers. Some of those targeted said they were told signing the papers would be rewarded with either financial aid or an opportunity to apparently clear their names, so long as they admitted to being members of the MPA. One person who signed the papers said the military continued to harass many who had signed on. These practices were alarmingly rampant during the 2025 elections, as documented by the IOM. The unchecked labelling of progressive root groups and individuals as insurgents or terrorists has fostered a climate of fear, suppressed political participation, and severely undermined democratic space. Addressing red tagging through legal accountability is essential to protect civil liberties and ensure the conditions for free, fair, and inclusive elections are fostered. Filipino people have experienced decades of violent repression at the hands of successive governments. The recent elections need to be examined in this context. It is of further importance to note the heavy focus of red tagging and militarisation on rural communities. The context here to be noted is that there are active campaigns against foreign mining and for land reform, often on the ancestral lands of Indigenous people. Out of the 5 areas the observer's mission visited, all were able to document struggles of the people in those areas against the privatisation of land, the encroachment of extractive industries, displacement due to tourism, development, deforestation and logging, and other forms of land grabbing. The attacks during the election period targeted poor and marginalised community advocating for land rights. Such attacks exclude the poor not only from democratic processes, but also from their right to food and land sovereignty. The interviews we conducted revealed the various abuses committed in these areas aimed at progressive candidates and organisations were done through a well-funded campaign involving the police, the military, and the National Task Force to End Local Communist Armed Conflict in the Philippines. Now, that's known as the NTF-ELCAC. Now, this body has engaged in brazen extremist tactics that suggest that they knew they could get away with their crimes, and so far they have. During the election period, the NTF-ELCAC released a video that red-tagged Kabataan Party List representative Raul Manuel, alleging that he was a recruiter for the MPA. Our report sets out a comprehensive set of recommendations. I will mention 3 of these that are relevant to my comments here today. We are calling for the criminalisation of red tagging, the abolition of the NTF-ELCAC, and the repeal of anti-terrorism law. Having been a member of the International Observers Mission in the 2022 presidential election, I am very conscious of the need for the international community to step up its efforts to encourage the Filipino Parliament to consider and then adopt our recommendations. To date, none of the 2022 recommendations have been adopted. Our work on this election campaign has highlighted that the challenges we face and that the Filipino face have become more immense. The context now includes growing social inequity, the rise of fascism, expanding foreign interference, and more extensive human rights abuses. The issues with the 2025 elections we identified were not an anomaly, but rather an expansion of the undemocratic practices that Filipinos have long suffered under. We stand with the majority of Filipinos in calling for a fair, accountable, and transparent electoral system for the Philippines. Thank you.
That was Lee Rhiannon, a former member of the Australian Senate, speaking at a news conference May 27th, at which the International Observer Mission's report on the 2025 Philippine elections was launched. We'll hear more in a moment. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Another speaker at this International Observer Mission Report launch news conference was Colleen Moore, Director of Peace with Justice at the General Board of Church and Society of the United Methodist Church.
So amidst the election, the Balikatan military exercises took place in the Philippines. It largely overlapped with the election. It ran from April 21st to May 9th this year, with 10,000 U.S., Japanese, and Australian troops staging live fire exercises alongside 5,000 Filipino troops in Mindanao, Palawan, Zambales, and Batanes. U.S. and Filipino commanders of the exercises bluntly described them as a full battle test, with participating militaries using the most advanced U.S. anti-ship missile, anti-drone, and anti-aircraft systems to carry out drills facing the West Philippine Sea and Taiwan. The military exercises posed a threat to the freedom and sovereignty of the elections, skewing the perception of the threat of China and having severe local impacts. The local impacts included disruption in communities' livelihoods. However, these were portrayed positively in mainstream media, conveying an inaccurate picture that the Philippines is facing a national emergency because of a threat of invasion by China. Voters were told that they needed the U.S. to defend their interests against China, overinflating the threat of China and manufacturing a national security emergency, which skewed voters' perception towards pro-U.S. candidates, such as those of President Marcos Jr.'s Alliance for a New Philippine Slate. The Marcos administration sought to stampede voters into supporting their chosen candidates, who will further facilitate and justify the U.S. pivot to Asia and further military buildup against China. Candidates who were critics of Balikatan or advocates for a truly independent Philippine foreign policy were accused of being stooges for Beijing. This has led to a massive distortion of the election atmosphere. While these war games have the explicit approval of Marcos Jr.'s administration, which has positioned itself as a close ally of the Trump administration, anti-war and patriotic movements in the country have opposed these exercises, as seen by mass protests staged across the country in opposition to the exercises in U.S. military bases. There was a Bayan spokesperson who has said, quote, "The probe on China's espionage and interference activities should expose those who colluded with Beijing in negating the Philippine claim in the West Philippine Sea and manipulating public opinion during the election campaign. But the probe should be widened to look into the more insidious legacy of U.S. interference in the local elections and politics. Historically, it is the U.S. which has the most brazen record in subverting our sovereignty and normalizing its intervention in Philippine politics." Macabayan senatorial candidates also expressed concern about the narrative that China is out to invade the Philippines, and so the Philippines should stay close to the U.S. The Macabayan campaign asserts independence and national sovereignty, knowing that the U.S. is trying to control the Asia-Pacific region and use the Philippines as a pawn in this rivalry. The concurrent staging of the Balikatan military exercises and the midterm election campaign raises serious concerns about the integrity of democratic processes under conditions of heightened militarization and foreign intervention. While Marcos-aligned candidates claim that it's a strategic defense posture against regional threats, the presence of thousands of foreign troops combined with live fire drills and counterinsurgency operations have tangible consequences for civic space, electoral discourse, and local livelihoods. The dominance of pro-military narratives in mainstream government and military channels which often portrayed dissenting voices as hostile or China-aligned, is very alarming, and it manufactures consent for heightened militarization and foreign intervention, drowning out critical voices or those who call for an independent foreign policy led by Filipinos. In the IOM's view, the normalization of such exercises during an election campaign distorts the conditions needed for a free, fair, and honest election. On the recommendations of the report, the IOM recommends that national governments and international bodies terminate all military agreements, cease war exercises, and stop all weapons shipments and foreign military financing to the Philippines due to documented human rights violations by state forces prior to and during elections. We specifically call for an end to Balikatan and all foreign military exercises in the Philippines during the elections and beyond. These large-scale U.S.-led war games distort democratic space, heighten militarization, and contribute to an atmosphere of intimidation and foreign interference. The international community should support the Filipino people in their demand for an independent foreign policy that upholds national sovereignty and safeguards democratic processes. Canada must cancel its participation in the Indo-Pacific Strategy for Regional Security, particularly the Status of Visiting Forces Agreement with the Philippines. In light of findings from these 2025 elections marked by repression, red tagging, and militarization, the Status of Forces of Visiting Forces Agreement with the Philippines risk further enabling the role of armed forces in political affairs and exacerbating human rights violations against civilians, especially during electoral periods. In the United States, Congress must reintroduce and pass the Philippines Human Rights Act. This legislation aims to immediately suspend security assistance to the Philippine military and police, including military funding, weapon sales, and police support provided to the Philippine government. Additionally, it calls for the prosecution of security forces responsible for human rights abuses and mandates compliance with independent audits to ensure that U.S. aid is not used to violate human rights. Unfortunately, we do not yet have a lead sponsor on the bill at this time, so we call on members of Congress to step up and lead for peace and human rights in the Philippines. Reintroducing and advancing the PHRA is a crucial step towards ending U.S. complicity in rights violations and holding the Philippine government accountable to democratic and humanitarian standards.
That was Colleen Moore, Director of Peace with Justice at the General Board of Church and Society at the United Methodist Church, speaking at a news conference May 27th, at which the International Observer Mission's report on the 2025 Philippine election was launched. That report found that the 2025 Philippine elections failed to meet international standards for free and fair elections and cited grave and widespread violations of human rights across the country. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio and syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's AudioPort service. Please support your local community radio station. Become a member. Become a volunteer. Find this edition of Century, along with an archive of past shows, at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.